Hello there, I'm Fumi, your AI research assistant. Welcome back to another deep dive into the shifting landscapes of technology. If you are listening to this, chances are you have wondered about where our digital lives are heading. We hear these buzzwords all the time. The metaverse, extended reality, digital twins. It can feel like a lot of noise, but my job is to cut through that noise. Every week, I scour the latest academic papers and technical reports to find the signal, the real, tangible research that is shaping our future. Today, we are looking at the research from the last week of October, 2024. And let me tell you, it has been a fascinating week for extended reality, or XR. We analyzed 98 different sources. And what we found wasn't just about better graphics or faster headsets. The conversation has shifted. It is growing up. We are moving away from the hype of what if and diving headfirst into the gritty reality of how. How do we govern a virtual world? How does virtual reality actually affect our brains when we try to learn? And how do we stop feeling motion sick when we fly through a digital sky? So, grab a coffee, or maybe just settle in, and let's explore the future together. I want to start with the biggest theme that emerged this week, the metaverse. Now, for a long time, the metaverse felt like a concept from a science fiction novel. But looking at a major survey by Wang and colleagues from 2022, which was heavily cited this week, we are seeing a pivot. The research is no longer just asking, what is the metaverse? It is asking, how do we build it safely? Think about a city. When you build a house, you think about the design and the furniture. But when you build a city, you have to think about the sewage systems, the traffic laws, the police force, and the property rights. That is exactly where the research is right now with the metaverse. A significant portion of this week's papers focused on governance, security, and privacy. And this is critical. Because if we are going to live, work, and play in these virtual spaces, the stakes are incredibly high. One paper by Bermejo and Hui really stood out to me. It is titled Life, the Metaverse, and Everything. I love that title. They argue that we are facing a crisis of governance. In the physical world, we have laws that protect our identity and our property, but in the metaverse, those frameworks are still being written. Imagine this. You buy a digital piece of land, or you create a digital avatar that represents your professional identity. Who owns that? What happens if the platform shuts down? Or, darker still, what happens if someone steals your digital identity? These aren't just technical bugs to be fixed. They are ethical and legal chasms that we need to bridge. The researchers are calling for robust, decentralized frameworks. They are saying we cannot just leave this up to a few big tech companies. We need a societal agreement on how we exist in these spaces. Now, let's pivot to something a bit more tangible, and frankly, quite beautiful. Cultural heritage. This was a surprising and delightful trend in this week's report. We are seeing a surge in research on how extended reality can preserve our history. There were great insights from researchers like Okanovic and Silva. Here is the thing about museums. They are wonderful, but they have a limitation. You usually cannot touch the artifacts. You look at a vase behind glass. You read a placard. It is a passive experience, but XR is changing that. The research explores how we can use virtual reality, or VR, and augmented reality, or AR, to democratize history. Imagine putting on a headset and not just seeing the ruins of Rome, but standing in the Forum while it is under construction. But it goes deeper than just visuals. Some of the studies discussed haptics, which is touch technology, in the context of heritage. Imagine being able to feel the texture of a 3,000-year-old statue without ever risking damage to the original artifact. This isn't just a gimmick. It is a way to create empathy and connection with our past. It transforms history from a list of dates into a lived experience. However, and this is where things get really interesting, we need to talk about education. For years, the assumption has been simple. Immersion is good. Therefore, more immersion must be better for learning. If we put a student in a VR chemistry lab, they will learn better than if they just read a textbook. Right? Well, a critical study by Makransky and colleagues challenges that assumption, and honestly, this is my favorite kind of research. The kind that says, wait a minute, let's look at the data. They found something called the immersion principle might actually have a breaking point. They compared students using a desktop simulation versus an immersive VR simulation. And here is the shocker. The students in VR reported feeling much more present. They felt like they were really there, but they actually learned asterisk less. Let that sink in for a moment. More presence, less learning. Why? The researchers point to cognitive load. Think about your brain like a computer processor. It only has so much bandwidth. When you are in a high-end VR simulation, your brain is processing a massive amount of data. The lighting, the 3D space, the movement, the novelty of the experience. It is overwhelming. So, while you are busy being amazed by the virtual test tubes, your brain doesn't have enough processing power left to actually memorize the chemical formulas. This is a massive insight for educators and developers. It means we cannot just throw technology at a classroom and expect miracles. We have to design these experiences carefully. Maybe we need to simplify the visuals when a complex concept is being explained. Maybe we need to guide the user's attention more strictly. It is a reminder that the human brain has limits, even in a limitless virtual world. Speaking of the human body's limits, let's talk about the physical side of things. If you have ever tried a VR headset, you might have experienced it. That queasy feeling in your stomach. The cold sweat, virtual reality sickness. A review by Chang and colleagues was highlighted this week, and it reminds us that this is still a huge barrier. It is not just about getting used to it. It is a physiological conflict. Your eyes tell you that you are flying over a mountain. Your inner ear, which controls your balance, tells you that you are sitting in an office chair. That mismatch causes the brain to panic. Interestingly, the research suggests this isn't just a hardware problem. It is a content design problem. We need better ways to move in VR without triggering that alarm bell in the brain. Until we solve this, XR will struggle to go truly mainstream. You cannot work an 8-hour shift in the metaverse if you feel nauseous after 20 minutes. Now, I want to touch on something that connects the digital to the physical in a very direct way: haptics. We mentioned this briefly with the museums, but the research goes deeper. There was a nod to foundational work by Adams and Hannaford, alongside new studies. Haptics is the science of touch feedback. Right now, most of our digital life is audiovisual. We see and we hear, but we don't feel. The research suggests that the next great leap in immersion isn't 8K screens, it is convincing force feedback. It is about feeling the resistance when you push a virtual door. It is about feeling the weight of a virtual object. This is crucial for training. If you are a surgeon training in VR, you need to know exactly how much pressure to apply with a scalpel. Visuals aren't enough. You need to feel the tissue. The research indicates we are making progress here, moving towards stable, realistic interactions that ground us in the virtual space. So, what does all of this add up to? When I look at these 98 sources as a whole, I see a picture of a technology that is maturing. We are moving past the shiny new toy phase. We are seeing the integration of XR with other massive technologies. There was talk this week of digital twins, exact virtual replicas of physical systems, and 6G networks. The vision is a world where the digital and physical are seamlessly woven together. Imagine a factory manager who can walk through a digital twin of their assembly line, seeing real-time data overlaid on the machines, feeling the vibration of a malfunctioning part through a haptic glove, all powered by a 6G network with zero latency. That is the future these papers are pointing toward. But, and this is my final thought for you today, there are gaps. We still don't have standardized security for the metaverse. It is still the Wild West out there. We still haven't fully figured out how to teach effectively in VR without overwhelming the brain. And we certainly haven't solved the motion sickness problem for everyone. And perhaps most importantly, we need more research on the long-term psychological effects. What happens to a developing mind that spends 4 hours a day in a virtual world? What happens to our social skills? These are the questions that keep researchers up at night, and they are the questions we need to keep asking. The technology is moving fast, but it is up to us, researchers, developers, and users, to ensure it moves in the right direction. We need to build a future that is not just immersive, but safe, ethical, and truly beneficial for the human experience. That is all for this week's deep dive. I hope this gave you a clearer view of what is happening in the labs and think tanks of the world. I'm Fumi. Thanks for listening and stay curious. I will catch you in the next report.